We're ready to go.
Yeah,
I'm speaking on behalf of the. My purpose for being here was to watch the process and ensure that due process was done. Very impressed with the way the judge is speaking and handling the matter. I acknowledge and note that he himself said that he's a new judge and he's very aware of what the Court of Criminal Appeal previously ruled, and he wants to make sure that any judgment he makes is consistent with that. He seemed to be speaking a lot about the desire to impose an aggregated sentence. There seems to be quite some complication about how that will be done and what length it would be and when it should start from, but it sounds like he is of a mind that he wants to give extra time on top of what Van Ryn is currently serving. So I was very pleased to hear that. Some fascinating things came up in the submission that I took offence to. We initiated, on behalf of the children, civil action against Van Ryn, and the suggestion that because he was civilly sued, that should somehow go to reducing any sentence for this current crime, I find quite abhorrent. Fascinatingly, in the civil court, you're told all the time that nothing that's happened in the criminal court can be taken into consideration, and yet it appears that it's not the reverse, that in fact something that has happened in the civil court can be used to his advantage in the criminal court. I just find that completely astounding.
The judge did rule that out, though, didn't he?
No, I didn't hear him rule it out. I heard him say that he would take into account these extra pecuniary punishments, as they refer to them, including the fact that the media has been reporting on the case, and this has caused Van Ryn some grief in the jail system as a result. Well, we have no doubt that unless the media had got involved right from the word go, that Van Ryn would most likely be walking on the streets of Bega today. It was only due to the media's involvement and promotion of what was happening with this case that we got the outcome that we did. I mean, the judge himself said that he is very wary about his sentencing because he knows of the high publicity that this case has and the media interest in the case. So,
what do you make of the defence's position that it's been hanging over his head and so he should receive a lesser sentence for that?
Well, fascinatingly, I seem to recall at some point during the original submissions, Van Ryn saying that there were no further victims. So if you twist it the other way, somebody has come forward who is a further victim that Van Ryn denied existed. So
an aggravating circumstance.
Yeah, so he should therefore be punished for having failed to disclose that there were further
victims.
Could
you give me a quick summary of the civil matters, where that stands and what's occurred to date?
The civil matters were concluded. Anybody who's ever gone through the civil courts finds that the cost of the legal process is extraordinary and often greater than what the monies that could be awarded. In the end, there was, shortly before it was due to go to the civil court, an offer that the victims accepted. It was probably nowhere near the same quantum as the court would have awarded, but Van Ryn had indicated through his solicitors that they would not pay any judgment that the court made because his monies were sequestered in superannuation. So again, I'm not sure what Mr. Hazelwood was referring to there, where he said that legislation is currently in place to stop that from happening. I'm certainly not aware of it, and that's why there's been that separate campaign to have the superannuation of criminals able to be accessed by court judgments.
But your argument is the victims didn't get enough in compensation?
They certainly didn't get what a court would have awarded, nowhere near as much. But that is the legal system as we have it, and we accept for what it is. It was probably the only way that they would get any access to funds for compensation purposes.
The victim impact statement in this matter won't be released, but given your experience and what you know, what are some of the things that are likely to be in that victim impact statement?
Oh, he will most likely have talked about the personal impact upon his growth and well-being. I certainly know from what I've talked to the other victims about, often they talk about how it has impacted upon their own sexuality, their inability to deal comfortably with members of the opposite sex, for example. The things that go to the basis of our very soul and well-being as people has been damaged and in some cases almost destroyed in victims. I was very pleased to hear the judge say that he would be referring to the Royal Commission, outcomes of the Royal Commission, because that was what so many of the findings that came out of the Royal Commission spoke about, how damaged these people are.
Did you take anything from Van Ryan's demeanour today?
I noticed when some of the graphic details of the crimes that he had committed were being discussed, that he was, his body language was very, he was looking down, he actually became quite flushed, so he appeared to be very embarrassed about the public revelations of the actual level of the offending that he had committed.
Yeah. And rehabilitation was talked about. What do you think his prospect of rehabilitation is?
The belief of organisations like Bravehearts is that pedophiles cannot be rehabilitated. In his first submissions in the previous case, he spoke a lot about taking testosterone suppressing drugs. You know, our response to that is,
there was no talk of the chemical castration at all in terms of his rehabilitation.
So not today. And
no indication he's still taking it.
Who knows? But our position remains that this is why these people must be incarcerated for as long as possible, because they cannot be rehabilitated. When they get out of jail, they will reoffend. And just any reference to some of the recent press in Sydney, we've had numerous incidents of pedophiles being released from jail and re-offending within days of getting out of jail.
Is even the mention of him being, say, 72 when he gets out, that doesn't
mean... No, 72 doesn't mean suddenly he's going to, due to age, stop these acts.
So, in effect, if the non-parole sentence period is increased but the head sentence remains the same, will you be satisfied with that?
I need to understand, when Friday next week rolls around, what is the date at which he would be released from jail? That for me, is the bottom line. We just need to understand that.
And, of course, that is if he passes the parole board's recommendations.
Yes, if he does pass their recommendations, yes.
Yep. Okay. All right, thank you.